First comment from Rebecca, please.
Thank you. I would like firstly to thank Eba and Richard for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to reflect from a CEDA perspective. So my name is Rebecca Kitzing-Iverson and I'm working at CEDA. I've been there for ages, advisor on results-based management. And I would start off sincerely thanking you, Brendan, Craig and Janet, for your dissertation and your report, because I think that you indeed contribute to a sound application of results-based management in development aid, because you provide us with great opportunities for learning, which results-based management is essentially about. And I think that one of the reasons why we at CEDA, and I think that pertains to many organizations, why we sometimes, I have to admit, we sometimes do actually fail to learn, it's because of our lack of institutional memory. We cannot really learn from what we are doing because we do not always know what we have done, I have to admit. A lot, often it happens because of a huge staff turnover. And therefore, I think it's really useful that we know now, thanks to Janet, has this sort of wonderful source of institutional memory. And I only wish that I would had had Janet's dissertation when I started off as advisor on RBM at CEDA in 2006, because then I wouldn't have gotten comments from senior colleagues like, oh dear, we did that long before you were born. And I wouldn't have wasted my colleagues' time on two simplistic trainings on RBM, because I would have understood from the beginning, done that, seen that, all that so many times before. So I think that this lack of learning, I mean, we do learn, I have to stress, but sometimes we fail. I think that this lack sometimes of learning caused by lack of institutional memory is an important reason for this tide that you so well described, Janet, in your dissertation, that results initiatives come and go because we are not always able to look backwards and to learn from what we have done. And hopefully, partially thanks to your dissertation, we will this time learn. So we will not just be swinging back and forth as we have in the past, and hopefully we learn and move on, progress. My second point is that I took a special interest in reading about the two last initiatives that you described, Janet. And that's because I was myself part of it, of the story, so that was why it was interesting. And what strikes me when I read about it is the huge discrepancy between the formal steering of CEDA and the informal steering. And that it was actually quite much CEDA's own strivings to copy DFID, not the least, and to become the best in the classroom, so to speak, in results-based management that drove the initiatives. And therefore, I found it interesting to read about this in your report, Craig and Brendan, and maybe even somewhat consoling, to read about this phenomenon that it was professionals, you even write that the existence of cadres of professionals willing to undertake these reforms was crucial to their success. So it was not, we cannot only sort of blame the government and so on, it also has a lot to do with organizational culture and management culture and so on. However, it was not everybody within CEDA who believed in all these initiatives and measurements and reporting and so on. And I think that's really great, Janet, that you managed to capture that CEDA is not a homogeneous organization, that there have always been those that have questions, results, measurement, initiatives for various reasons. I took a great interest in reading your report, Craig and Brendan, because, as I said before, that for many years CEDA did indeed strive to copy what DFID did. And therefore it is indeed interesting for a person working at CEDA to actually learn why did DFID do what DFID did. And when I learn about the reasons behind those strivings or that politics within DFID, I came to think about the principles of doing development differently. You know this movement now, I mean, it's been gone for a while, which call very much for a focus on the problems to be solved, the problem analysis, instead of just sort of jumping on ready solutions. And I think it's interesting, like, we did not face the problem, but we just took a ready solution, even though the problems may have been completely different in a Swedish setting. And it could be, I cannot judge, because I'm absolutely not a specialist. I should round up soon. Yeah, in sort of UK politics and so on. But I cannot judge if it was appropriate or not for you. But I can say for sure that since we did not face the same problems, the solution was not appropriate, I would say, for us. Finally, I would say that there is one thing, though, that I find a bit problematic in your dissertation, Janet, and you know that. That is that the concepts of solidarity and effectiveness, that they are treated almost as opposites. And one chapter is even called the tension between solidarity and effectiveness. Because for me, it's always been the feeling of solidarity with fellow beings living in poverty that has made me mind so much about results-based management. I actually started minding about that after having spent one very cold winter in Moldova. And I felt then that we owe the children living in the orphanages, the heroes in the municipal offices, and many, many others, that we do our very best to maximize the achievement of aid by continuously learning and improving, adapting. And that's what results-based management is essentially about, at least according to CEDA's view. And those of you who would like to learn more about that and discuss that view on results-based management are very welcome to come to CEDA tomorrow to our conference, Reclaim the Results. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. And now we'll hear a final comment from the Foreign Office or from Lennart Peck, his own comment, I guess.
Yes, my name is Lennart Peck. I'm working at the Department for International Development Cooperation at the Ministry for Foreign Affairs. And also, first of all, thanks, Janet, Greg, Brandon, for these interesting presentations and the papers. It's when you're working with the RBM issues on a daily basis, it's really useful to get sometimes to see it in the long-term perspective. We have both the organizational perspective and the political perspective, and also to look a bit on. To look beyond Sweden, as this RBM discussion, it's very much an international discussion. And as we've already touched upon, Sweden has very much looked at DFID. Some has looked at it as a model, and others have perhaps not looked at it as a model. But anyhow, just to share these experiences. And as you were starting out saying, Arne, there are, of course, many both similarities and differences here. It's about politics, the broader environment, where it deserves saying here that, of course, Sweden also had the financial crisis, but we did not have the same budget cut discussions as you did in the UK. And we also had a big drive for results-based management and the so-called results agenda, particularly during the previous government. But of course, we never came close to what you did in the UK when it comes to these standard indicators and corporate results frameworks and so on. Then in both studies, where we see here that politicians influence, and of course that's the way it should be in a democratic society. Then you point to the clash when politicians don't really grasp the complexities of aid. So I suppose what we can do is to constantly remind them of this, as EBA is doing in its various studies. This thing about staff interpreting things differently, taking it on differently. I suppose it's a health sign, actually, that people have different opinions and not everybody runs in the same direction with the same speed all the time. But, of course, it also highlights the importance of people, incentives in these in these initiatives. We touched upon this tension between domestic accountability and aid effectiveness. And it's a fact. I mean, we have the budget law. We have a lot of laws and regulations that apply to all Swedish government activities. And at the same time, we have made international commitments about aid effectiveness. So somehow we have to live up to both of it. And that sort of seems to be just one of a lot of different trade-offs we really have to work with here. I mean, it's that one in EBA you've been discussing, the trade-off between learning accountability. Accountability is, of course, very important. At the same time, an overemphasis on accountability can actually be hindering learning. We have this thing with complexity, which you discuss in your thesis about simplifying in a matrix. Yes, you have to see the complexity. There are times also where you actually have to simplify and find ways of doing it. Not to talk about the quantitative, qualitative, the many benefits of actually counting things and going quantitative, and also at the same time the risks, the limitations, and also to match, not the least, I would say, the ambitions, at the same time realism, because I think often when these initiatives have failed, it's often been because of a lack of realism, actually. And you discuss, we were talking about solidarity, effectiveness. I think one thing that you, Jenna, talk about in your thesis as well, touch upon, is which I think is really important, is this thing with the trust. I think you could make a division there as well. Because, I mean, there are approaches that fundamentally build on trust and approaches that build on distrust. And unfortunately, we've seen that many of those approaches that build on distrust have, often failed. So that leads to the question, how do we build trust? And an important part there is, of course, I mean, to showing what development cooperation can actually deliver. And then you're back to a good follow-up and evaluation. And, of course, also you write in the ODI study here about perhaps communicating, talking about development cooperation in a different way, as you put it, to have a more nuanced discussion. And possibly if we become better at actually explaining what development cooperation is all about, the demand for those models that have not been so helpful might not be so strong. Then when it comes to these waves, are the waves going back and forth? I mean, I think you showed that very clearly in your thesis, and you can see that in the UK as well. I think the question is then, so are the rises and falls, and we come to the same, back to the same place again? I would argue that a lot of things have happened. I mean, just if you compare the general debate awareness now and a few years ago, it's... I can see that you stand up. No, I think they're completely different aware, completely different discussion. I mean, I'm old to remember when CEDA was introducing the LFA in the 90s at CEDA. And I also recall, I mean, how much it meant for people just started thinking about what we want to achieve, not only the activities, and that it might actually be good to have some indicators. And there were perhaps some assumptions that we have to consider. Then we learned that also that it's a tool. You can use it. You can misuse it. For a while, we started talking then about theories of change. Now it's doing development differently. So definitely, I think we are moving forward, definitely. So maybe this graph with the diff tide is there, but I would like to tilt it a little bit because I actually think we do go forward. And then also just to comment, if you read the government's policy framework, I mean, it starts by talking about development being complex, that you think that things take time, that you have to work holistically, that you have to work flexibly. Those things are there. Also, the government just now as many of you know, in last December, adopted new guidelines for strategies. That's sort of the guidelines actually governing the whole aid machinery, if you want to. And in the very first point there, it talks about government wanting to see a development cooperation which is flexible, adapted to context. Also, it stresses learning, dialogue. And learning, of course, also has to do very much with actually seeing what you achieve. So therefore, it's also very much stressed, again, the results. The results are just as important as it's always been, but because possibly in a somewhat different way. Having systems for follow-up evaluation that are actually produces meaningful information. So this will, of course, also pose a lot of new challenges. Nobody said that this is easy. But on the whole, I'm optimistic. I think we are moving forward, and particularly if we can have discussions like the ones we have today with Eba. Thank you.
Thank you.